Genesis 31. The message tonight is Jacob's encounter with Laban. I want to read most of the chapter to you. We got through verse 21, our last session. And so let me take up from verse 22. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him, and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountain of Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream in the night, and said unto him, Take heed to thyself, that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And Laban came up with Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain, and Laban with his brethren encamped in the mountain of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives of the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee secretly and steal away from me, and did not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and didst not suffer me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now hast thou done foolishly. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take heed to thyself, that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I said, Lest thou shouldest take thy daughters from me by force. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, he shall not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen her father's gods. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found them not. And he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the teraphim and put them in the camel's saddle and sat upon them. And Laban felt all about the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise up before thee, for the manner of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the teraphim. And Jacob was wroth, and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, What is my trespass? What is my sin, that thou hast hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast felt about all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us two. These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and thy rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes. These 20 years have I been in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy flock. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now hadst thou sent me away empty. God hath seen mine affliction, and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, the daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children whom they have borne? And now come, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone, and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there by the heap. And Laban called it Jegor Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed, and Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee, when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, and if thou shalt take wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold the pillar which I have set betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and the pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. And Jacob offered a sacrifice in the mountain, and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mountain. And early in the morning Laban rose up, and kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. I have no doubt that when Jacob first left, for the first few days, he was fearful that his uncle Laban would come, catch up with him, and do him harm. But think now. 3 days, no sight of him. 4 days, 5 days, a week passes, and his heart would begin to be at rest. And then 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, why, I have nothing to worry about. I thought he was going to pursue me, but he hasn't come after me. But suddenly, after 10 days, Laban appears on the scene and confronts his nephew, Jacob. This is the encounter of Jacob with Laban. And there are no physical blows thrown, but there is an encounter, there is a fight, there is a contention. And at first, it looks as if Laban is going to prevail. And so the first one who speaks is Laban. He reproaches him for leaving secretly and taking his sons and his daughters without giving him an opportunity to say goodbye. And this, I cannot help but smile when I read it. He said, I would have sent you away with songs and with dances and with harp and tabret. He said, I would have done all of these things for you, and I wanted to kiss my sons and my daughters. He said, you've done foolishly. It is in the power of my hand to do thee hurt. But God had already anticipated what Laban wanted to do, and he had spoken to him and forbidden him to do anything to Jacob. Because even though Jacob is that crooked one, that deceiver, still there was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that was the holy line, and then Jacob's children, and God was going to protect the man. He told him when he first appeared at the top of that ladder in Genesis 28 that he was going to be with him and care for him and provide for him. And Jacob wanted that to happen to him and told him that if it did happen, God would be his God. But what happens is this, that you can see the hand of God in your life in one way, but not go from one presence of God to another presence of God, and you can be without strength, and you will behave in a fashion that is reprehensible and that is a shame to all that read about it. He knew that God had been with him. He told Laban that if God had not been with him, he would have sent him away after 20 years empty. But he said, "My God, the God of Abraham and the God of my father, the fear of my father Isaac, he was with me and he protected me and kept me." But what happens is this, and it's so sad, that when God does one thing for us, and we grasp and understand the help of God and the presence of God one time, it does not mean that we understand that God will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. The disciples in the New Testament had that same experience. There's nothing to eat, and they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the Lord Jesus takes that little provision and feeds 5,000. And then later on, there was a crowd of 4,000, and they have nothing to eat. And the Lord said, "What are we going to do?" And his disciples could not grasp that he who had fed 5,000 could feed 4,000 more, that what he had done yesterday he was able to do today. And so the Lord Jesus had to rebuke them. That's such a sad thing. How? That we can genuinely trust in God and enjoy the presence of God and the certainty of the goodness of God on one occasion, but then for the next occasion, forget all about that and feel as if we are on our own and we do not have God assisting us in what we do. Think. If, when Laban tried to take everything that Jacob would have earned in those 6 years when he cared for his cattle, and yet God prevented Laban from doing anything to Jacob all those years, could he not, when God said, "It's time for you to go home," could not God have protected him had he gone to Laban and said, "I've labored for you 6 years. My heart longs to go home. My God has told me to go home, and I am going home." But he was afraid that this is what would happen, that these wives that he had labored for 14 years, that Laban by force would take his wives away from him, claim them as his daughters, and send him away with nothing. He came with nothing. That's a remarkable thing. He said, "I crossed over this stream with my staff in my hand." He acknowledged that. And now he is escaping a well-to-do man, greatly blessed, a rich man. And yet he is afraid that God is not able to protect him if he faces Laban and says, "I'm leaving now." So what happens is this. with stealth, he departs, and then, as I told you, he thinks all is well, as I see it. And then, after 10 days, Laban shows upon the scene, and then chides, rebukes him, and with hypocrisy tells him all that he would do. I do not know if he would have done these things, but he puts up a good defense. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Suppose Laban had stopped there and simply told what he would have done, and he wanted to kiss his sons and his daughters goodbye, but said no more. We would never have found courage in the heart of Jacob to give the reply to Laban he did, unless there had been this deception on the part of his wife. And this is what is so sad. When he discovers that his wife is a thief, that she is an idolater, that she is a liar, and that she is as deceptive as her father, Laban. How sad. He did not know that. But since he did not know it, he said, "Let the one be put to death that has stolen your gods, if you can find them." And then Laban goes, and he methodically searches every possible place that he could find his goods. But the place that they are, his daughter, who is more deceptive in this instance than he is, tells him that it's impossible for her to get up and rise before him because it's the time with her of women. And he is completely deceived, maybe for this reason. You'll find out later on in Leviticus chapter 15 that when this time comes, that anything a woman touches is defiled, and no one can touch that. But that law wasn't in existence. But think on this. Here are Laban's gods. And who could possibly think that someone would take these deities and sit on them during this time in her life? It's impossible to think that. And so he dismisses it. Now, having fruitlessly searched for anything that belonged to him, now, for the first time, Jacob is filled with courage and he speaks his mind. The first time when he answered Laban, he said this, "I did what I did because I was afraid. I thought you were going to take your daughters away from me." That was his first answer. Now, had all ended there, we never would have learned all of these additional things unless there had been this deception about stealing his gods and searching throughout all the tents and all the followers of Jacob, and he found absolutely nothing. And then Laban is absolutely powerless to do anything while his son-in-law chides with him, rebukes him. And I'm thinking of this. In all the 20 years that Jacob was with his father-in-law, he had never made known the feelings in his heart. Do you think that any time he had gone up and said, "Why, you are nothing but a cheat. You've changed my wages." Do you think he would have ever gone up to him and said, "You are a man who would overpower me and take your daughters back from me"? Nothing like that was ever said, I take it, for the 20 years that he was there. But he silently endured all of these indignities and these injustices and said nothing. But now, for the first time, he makes known what has been pent up in his heart for all of these years, and it comes forth. And it's a glorious thing when you're able to do that, when you have courage. I remember when I used to work for Wilson Meat Company, the man that was in charge was a miserable man. most unpleasant to work for. And there was a friend of mine named John Henry that worked for him. And for some reason, he didn't want him to work there anymore. And he called him into his office and he said, "You are dismissed." And when he said that, John Henry said, "I want you to know that you are the most contemptible, the most ordinary man, the most miserable man I have ever seen in my life." And the boss said, that's enough, get out of here. But until that time, he never would have had courage to speak that way to the man that had the power to keep him on or dismiss him. And in like manner, here is Jacob, and think that for 20 years, he thinks about how unjust his uncle Laban is, and the way that he's been mistreated, and this has gone on for 20 years. And so think now. For 7 of those 20 years, all was lovely. Because the first 7 years, he thought he was working for the hand of Rachel. He said, "I will work for your daughter Rachel 7 years. And this beautiful verse in the Bible, and it says, "These 7 years seemed unto Jacob but a few days for the love that he had to her." Think of that. 7 years of labor like this, but because he was in love and he looked forward to having Rachel as his bride, it said they seemed unto him but a few days. But think how it immediately changed on his wedding night, and then for the next 13 years, all that finally burst forth from his heart, all of these things were taking place. And now Laban hears it for the first time. And this is what is so sad. Jacob at the end says, "God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you yesternight." Because of this, with all of this reviling, all of this chiding of his son-in-law, Laban can say absolutely nothing. Why? Because he knows that it's true, and because God had told him in a dream that he was to do nothing, and then also he speaks again about that God. And he confesses that God is the one that warned him. And then Jacob mentions the God. And so Laban acknowledges it. And he remains quiet. And listen to this. Laban answered and said unto Jacob, he said, "The daughters are mine. The sons are mine. The cattle are mine. The possessions are mine. Everything that you see is mine." And it's true. It's his, but it has been lost because of the goodness of God and God caring for Jacob when he was serving Laban. Think of this. Look at these girls. Whose were they? Why, they were yours, Laban. And these cattle that you have, why, they were yours. And all these possessions that you have, they were yours. But Jacob would say, "But now they are mine." And Laban acknowledges it. And it's such a helpless confession after those strong words that he spoke at first, the accusations he made, and the fear that was in Jacob's heart. But now there is no fear in Jacob's heart. But the fear is in Laban's heart. And so he knows how the situation stands, and he thinks the best thing to do is to protect myself against any future danger, any loss that could come upon me in days to come. And so he says to his son-in-law, he says, "Let us make a covenant together." And this is the covenant. This is the remarkable thing. They make this covenant by setting up a big stone for a pillar, and then Jacob said to his men, go gather stones and make a pile of stones. And they did that, and I take it that Laban also did the same thing. And so they have two piles of stones. And the covenant is this, that these stones and this pillar, they are a witness between me and thee. And the witness is this, that you are not going to pass over the demarcation of this pile of stones, and I will not pass over that pile of stones, and will do neither one of us any harm. One thing he said, and it is remarkable, he said, now, my daughters are leaving, and no man is with us, but I want you to know that there is a covenant, and I do not want this to be done. I do not want you to get rid of my daughters when you get into your own land, and I don't want you to hurt them in any way. He said, and also, I want my children to be cared for as well. And then he said, this is the assurance I want, that in the future you will not pass over this pillar and these stones to do me harm. Think now what has happened. It says in Ecclesiastes 8, there was a time wherein one man hath power over another to his hurt. And the time that we read about was the time when Laban had power over Jacob to his hurt. But now Laban suddenly knows that the tables are turned and the power is on Jacob's side to his hurt. And so he said, we'll make a covenant. And this is what he's thinking. He said, you are not to pass over this pile of stones and this pillar to do me harm. What is he thinking? Well, what did he do? He left his home and followed after Jacob 10 days, and he overcame him, overtook him, and he would have done harm to him unless God had forbidden it in a dream. And now what he's thinking is this. He said, all my accusations were fruitless, and I see that God is on your side. And what I'm afraid of is this, that you're going back home, and just as I have all of my kin people with me, and they were chasing after you to do you harm, I'm afraid that you're going to get a band of soldiers and your kin and come back and retaliate for all the things that I cannot deny that I did to you for 20 years. He said, for that reason, he said, we have to make a covenant. And so that is what they did. Now, the word Yegar, Sahadutha, and Galeed both mean a heap of stones, a pile of stones, and the word Mizpah means witness, the stones of witness. And so both of them had these outward visible symbols of what had taken place, and also they had a sacrifice and they ate a meal together. And so this covenant that was made could never be forgotten. It wasn't a quick thing. It wasn't a promise of the lips that could be forgotten and denied later on. But all of this ritual went through, and therefore they could never forget. And for that reason, the promise, Jacob swore by his God, and Laban swore by his God. And do you realize this? This is what is so remarkable. He says, the God of my father Abraham and Nahor. But you will look, and in Joshua 24, it says, your fathers served idols, false gods, beyond the river. And what is so sad is that Laban mentions his gods, the God of Abraham, yes, but also the God of Nahor and their fathers. He went back farther. He said, these gods look after things. And Jacob says, the God of my father Isaac. And he calls that God fear. Why? Because Jacob's father Isaac feared God. And so he said, the fear of Isaac, the God that he feared. He said, I swear by that God, not by all of these other false gods that you have mentioned. And so this was the agreement. And so they had all of this ritual, and it seems as if they stayed up all night long. But then early in the morning, Laban with his company rose up. And at least this is a lovely departure. It said, he kissed his sons and his daughters, and he blessed them, and then they departed. That would have been so beautiful, an occasion to remember, had Jacob, without stealing away unawares, if he had told his father-in-law Laban, I'm leaving now, if at that time, without accusations, without theft, without all of this turmoil that I've told you about, if instead of all of that, they had simply departed at the first as they departed at the last, it would have been a beautiful thing to remember. But this occasion will be remembered forever with regret and with sorrow. And it was a different kind of kiss after he had pursued Jacob to do him harm. And now he is letting his sons and daughters go away, and he's kissing them and blessing them, but in such a different way. And so here is what happens to us. If it's possible for us when we have encounters, if there are times when a parting of the ways must take place, if we had the courage and the faith to say, we are going to do it, whatever the consequence might be to me, I'm going to place myself in God's hand, and I'm going to, as a Christian man or woman, behave this way and let God handle the outcome. Then you would not have looked back upon it with regret. But Laban could never forget that day, the humiliation that he had experienced, that he had to accept from his own lips that God had done all of this to him. And now everything that he was looking at that could have been his, it was not his. It was Jacob's. And so he kisses his daughters and he kisses his grandsons goodbye, and then he blesses them. Isn't that remarkable? Just before Jacob left home, his father Isaac blessed him. And now, before Laban's daughters are leaving, Laban blesses them and his grandchildren as well. What kind of blessing could he give? What could he say when he's blessing them in the name of the God of Abraham, but also these false gods? But anyway, he blessed them and he kissed them, and then he departed and returned to his own place. And so here is the last time that Laban will ever see his daughters. And this is something that struck me forcibly. If I asked you, who was the father of Joseph, that son with the coat of many colors? You say Jacob was his father. Who was his grandfather? You say Isaac was his grandfather. But who was his other grandfather? You say Laban was his grandfather. And I thought of that. Laban, this man was the grandfather of the 12 sons of Jacob as much as Isaac was the grandfather of the 12 sons of Jacob. And so, yes, just as Isaac, the grandfather, could have blessed, so Laban, the grandfather, is blessing. And so these are some things to think about in Genesis 31. Time is gone. Our Father, we pray that we shall learn from the recorded events in history so long ago. And our Father, the things are as applicable to us. The lessons are as pertinent to us now as they were then. We are so thankful for the living Word of God. We are thankful that its usefulness shall never pass away. And so we pray that we shall have courage, that we shall know that your Son has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so let us not think that you will be with us sometimes, but then perhaps you will leave us and forsake us, and we had better use our own strategy to escape the consequences of life. So help us to trust you and do what is right, whatever the outcome might be. We remember, Father, that Joseph did this. The outcome was 2 years in prison. But then, our God, we remember that when we last see Joseph, he is sitting upon the throne of Egypt. And so let us be able to trust thee for good, to do what is right, and leave the outcome to God. Bless these lessons to our hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.